Well, let's just pray, can we? As we come. Lord Jesus, thank you. We can praise you, Lord, that you are the one that guards, protects us and provides for us. We bless you, Lord, for your word, a light for our feet, a guide for our path, to help us to know what courses to take in our lives, Lord. We bless you for your truth, Lord, the truth that sets us free from fear, from, Lord, wrong ways and foolish thinking. We bless you, Lord, you are the way, the truth and the life. Always have been, always will be, Lord. And we say thank you now. Pray your blessings as we look at your word. And give us light, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us to Jesus, we pray, Lord. To know him is to live indeed. So we pray your blessing and help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Esther is where we've come to this morning, just as I felt I should share. I don't know if you're aware of this, but last week was the Feast of Purim. It's the Jewish feast, and you'll understand why when we look at what it's about. But there's something there that's got a personal application for us too. We're going to look at the story there. And those special cakes, they're sort of pastry things with fruit, mixed fruit, fruit mash inside them. Do you know what they're called? They're called Haman's Ears.
No.
Yes, Haman's Ears they are. Haman was the villain of the piece, and when he heard the bad news, he said his ears dropped. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but that's the tradition, yeah. So they made the Haman's Ears. You can eat his ears now, yeah. And what's the rattle for?
Noise.
For noise! Yes. During the Feast of Purim, the last couple of days, they read through the book of Esther. And every time, and it's a great time for children as well, but everybody gets dressed up in party outfits and stuff like this. But what happens is that whenever the name of Haman is mentioned, rattle and noise, you see, because he is the villain, you got the idea, that's the villain, yes, right. Anyway, that's the story, but as I say, there's some really, really very important points he has to make for us, and some very practical ones for you and me as well. Okay, right, next one please. So, the name of the king of Persia was Ahasuerus. But we won't pronounce it like that. He's known as Xerxes to us, which I'm very pleased. But his Jewish name is that Ahasuerus. He lived between those days, 519 to 466, king of Persia. And it was the world empire in his day, right? And his capital was in Susa. This is the Mesopotamia, where they are there, right? And he was a ruler there, and all these events took place in about 475 BC. That's quite a long time ago, isn't it? But still relevant, and still remembered, of course, as well. So, next one, please. So, we're introduced to the feast. It's in the scroll of Esther, as it's often known as. And I want to read from the message, just the introduction about the king held a feast. It says here, "This is the story of something that happened in the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes who ruled from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all. King Xerxes ruled from his royal throne in the palace complex of Susa. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his officials and ministers. The military brass of Persia and Media were there also, along with the princes and governors of the provinces. For 6 months, he put on an exhibit of huge wealth of his empire and his stunningly beautiful royal splendours. At the conclusion of the exhibit, the king threw a party. King threw a party for everyone living in Susa, the capital, important and unimportant alike. The party was in the garden of the courtyard of the king's summer house, and the courtyard was as elaborately decorated with white and blue cotton curtains tied with linen and purple cords to silver rings on marble columns. Silver and gold couches were on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and coloured stones. Drinks were served in gold chalices, each chalice one of a kind. The royal wine flowed freely, a generous king. The guests could drink as much as they like, king's orders, with waiters at their elbows to refill the drinks. Meanwhile, Queen Vashti was throwing a separate party for the women inside King Xerxes' royal palace." So that's the party. Yes.
Everything comes to itself.
Quite a big deal. There were reasons behind it. If you know Xerxes' history, he was trying to raise some support for the war he was going to try and do. But anyway, that's what's going on. There's a big party going on in the capital. Right. Next one, please. So, after a week of the booze going on quite well, he was well over the edge a bit, and he had a great idea, because Queen Vashti was beautiful, yes, and he thought, wouldn't it be nice to show her off to the lads, yeah? Well, he thought his wife was lovely, so it'd be nice to show her off to the lads. What do you think? Right, the next one, please. We'll get through the story fairly quickly. She refused to come. I mean, what a nerve, eh? She refused to come, and so there's a bit of a quandary. What are we going to do about this? It's looking bad. And of course his elders, his advisors say to him, you know, if she gets away with it, there won't be any peace for any fella in the kingdom. All their wives will go into rebellion. So you've got to do something. So next then, please. Right. So he issued a decree. She's fired. No longer queen. Right. And I'll find a new obedient one. That's what he did. So that's what happened. She was put out. A new queen was to be looked for, right? And everybody was happy. Well, the fellas were, I suppose. There you go. Right. Anyway, next one, please. Right. The beautiful Jewish, I put Jewish in brackets because she didn't let on that she was Jewish, yeah? She'd been instructed not to, yeah? The beautiful Jewish orphan girl, Esther, adopted by her older cousin Mordecai, is chosen for the competition to become queen. Because Esther was...
Beautiful!
Right, yes. And eventually she did. If you're interested, ladies, in the beauty treatments, you can read the chapter about that one. It was serious, serious. I mean, you know, all the modern stuff they have these days, nothing compared to what these girls went through. Anyway, Esther, at the end of all this process, becomes queen. She's crowned queen. Next one, please. Right. Now, meanwhile, Mordecai, Esther's uncle, well, I called him uncle because he was older and he'd adopted her, really, yeah. He hears of a plot to assassinate the king and reports it. Yes, he's a good citizen. He hears a plot going on by two guys attempting to assassinate the king. So he reports it, and what happens is the men are arrested, they're tried and executed, and the details are written in the official records. They always kept records of the things that had happened. Yeah. So Mordecai did that. Next one, please. Now, here we have the character Haman. Haman is promoted to Prime Minister. Yeah, well, I call it Prime Minister, but he was the second in command in the kingdom, basically, yeah. And everyone, out of sort of respect for him, bow down to him, you see, except Mordecai. Mordecai doesn't bow down. Well, Haman doesn't know this at the time, but anyway, next one, please. Mm-hmm. Right. The other people ask him, why don't you bow down, Mordecai? And he says, well, I'm a Jew. He explained, because he's a Jew, we don't bow down to people. We bow down to God. We're not worshipping a man. We worship God. Yeah, so that's what he explained. And so the servants and whatever told Haman this. They reported him back. Haman, yes? Right. Now, the 13th of Adar. Adar is a Jewish month. It's one of the lunar months, round about March time, which is what last week was, yeah? Yeah. It's my lucky day. What's he do? It says, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, the poor, that is, the lot was cast. That's the Persian word for dice or whatever it is, the lot, yeah? The lot was cast in the presence of Haman to select a day and month to kill the Jews. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. It just so happens that these dice, what's their number? What's going to be?
10.
Can you count?
10.
5, 6 and 2? 13. 13. Yeah. So you're going to choose the 13th of Adar. The 13th month is the 13th of Adar. Yeah. Anyway, just to say, that may be old fashioned now, in what happened then, but they still do it today, you know. Yeah. Superstition, all sorts of, get a lucky day, you know, my lucky ticket or whatever it is, you know. Superstition everywhere. I don't know if you're aware of it, but President Reagan's wife was seriously into getting an astrologer to tell her what right things to do, which she advised the president, running the world with an astrologer behind it all. Well, there you are. That's what he thought. My lucky, that's the lucky day. We've got the right month and the right day to kill and massacre the Jews. That's great. Yes. Good. Now, next one, please. Haman asked the king. Oh, yeah. Asked the king to issue the decree to wipe out all the Jews in his empire, because he couldn't do it himself. But he said to the king, tell you what, I'll pay for it. I'll get it organized. And the king says, forget the money. Well, he says, if you want to get rid of them, get rid of them. And if you read what he says, it's anti-Semitism start to finish. But I won't go into the details. But that's what he's doing, yeah? So, get a plot to get rid of the Jews. Next slide, please. Right. And once it's written down, it can't be changed. It's the law of the Medes and Persians. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
If it's said in writing, the law of the Medes and Persians, once it's written down, can't be altered. Well, Haman got it written down so that the decree was passed that the Jews would be slaughtered on the 13th of Adar, 12th month, to get rid of them all. Yes. Right, next one, please. Right. It's bad news for the Jews. It was obviously circulated and made known in Susa and all the other places as well. Yeah. Bad news for the Jews. Now, I want to tell you, dear friends, this isn't a story. This is really terrible. Yeah. I mean, if you were a Jewish person living in Susa at that time, you just had a death sentence passed on you. Yeah? It's frightening. It's really, really scary. And this is Mordecai. What's he going to do? He puts on sackcloth. He starts grieving and mourning because of the terrible thing that he's heard is going to happen to him and his people. Yeah. So bad news for the Jews. Yeah. Next one, please. Esther hears that he's got himself covered in ashes and sackcloth and he's mourning. And she sends him some new set of clothes to smarten him up. But he refuses, of course. Esther sends new clothes to Mordecai, but no, it's not good. And he sends a message back. Next one, please. Mordecai asks Esther to ask the king to cancel the decree. Well, you can't cancel the decree, can you? It's written down, yeah. But there'll be a word somewhere around it. So he sends to Esther, saying, please, go and see the king. You're the queen. Have a word with him to get something changed. So we're okay, yeah? Next one, please. And she says, the king hasn't seen me for a month. Yeah? I mean, the king had lots of concubines and all that, yeah. Right? He hasn't seen me for a month. And if I just walk in unannounced, and he doesn't say, oh, it's okay, I'm dead. Yeah, so I could die. That's what she says. Yeah? That's how it was. If you turned up in the king's presence without being announced, and he decided that he wasn't going to have you welcome, you'd be killed. So she says, I've been there for a month. Now, my gene told me something that I thought was really interesting, right? Remember, Esther is absolutely stonkingly beautiful. And he hasn't seen her for a month. So, it's maybe a good time to turn up again, eh? Well, you never know. But, that's on the human level, of course. Now, next one, please. Now, I've put all this text. This is the most important section in the book of Esther, I believe. It's Mordecai's reply. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai says, and this is the interesting thing, he says, don't think you'll escape if you just keep your head down. And I think this is really quite... This man's a believer, he's got faith. He says, deliverance will arise from somewhere else. God, he says, God's got a big plan. I know that, yes? And I don't know how he's going to work it out, but if you don't do your bit, he'll find somebody else to do it. Yes? That's what he's saying, yeah? But, you know, maybe it's part of the plan that God's got you where you are for such a time as this. Who knows? Well, you've got to try and see, haven't you? And I put this for such a time as this. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there have been other Hamans around since then. Yes. Can you give me some names of more recent Hamans?
Hitler.
Hitler. What? Yes. Stalin, wasn't it? Yeah. Those that wanted to destroy the Jews, yes, they've been around, so other Hamans have come and gone. And the lesson to me is simply this: you can't just let evil get away with it. Somebody's got to stand up and do something. That's the point, is what is Mordecai is saying is, God will do it, yeah, but if you're in the place to do something about it.
Yeah,
that makes it legal. So, Esther stands forward, and what does the king say to the trees? Hello, Esther, welcome. Yeah, he switches out the scepter, that's the symbolism of it all. Hello, Esther, what do you want me to do for you? Right, because, you know, they don't just turn up for no reason at all, do they? Yeah, what do you want? And she says, would you and Haman come to a banquet I've prepared? I've got a party organised. Would you and him come along to the party?
Get him in a good mood.
Right, okay. Psychology as well, you know. You need wisdom. You need wisdom when you're fighting spiritual battles. And this is one serious spiritual battle that's going on, of course. It's the future of the Jews is at stake here. Right, next one, please. Right. So, there they are. They're having the feast. And the king says to Esther, what's it all about? She's not telling them. They don't know what it's for. There they are. They don't know what Esther wants yet. But they're going to find out, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. But what's their next little plan? Next one, please. She says, Esther, what do you want me to do for you? And she says, would you and Haman come to another banquet tomorrow? Another party. Yes. And then I'll tell you. So that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got them all ready now and keen to listen. It's psychology, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
God. You can use your brains when you're a believer. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. Yeah. You're allowed. So, next one, please. Haman. Haman had been invited to the banquet, but on his way home, he sees Mordecai standing. That really gets him. Yeah. As he walks home, having been told, it's great, I'm going to the banquet tomorrow as well. And he then sees Mordecai and his ears drop, I guess. he sees Mordecai standing there. And he goes home and he tells his family, you know, I've got all these privileges, I'm really blessed, I'm top guy in the kingdom, and yet I can't have any rest or quiet because that rat Mordecai is giving me grief and all his gang with him. But his family come up with a great idea. Tell you what, Haman, what you need to do is build a gallows. 75 feet high, a really impressive structure. Yeah. Build some gallows and go to the king tomorrow and ask him to have Mordecai hanged on it. How about that? It's great. That's a brilliant idea. So he slept quite peacefully that night, I suppose, thinking he's going to get Mordecai hanged in the morning. Right. Well, he slept peacefully, but, next please, the king had a bad case of insomnia. Couldn't sleep. Right? And so he thought, what can I have to put me to sleep? So he got them to read the chronicles. You know, get the books out of the events of his life and whatever. That should put you to sleep after a little while, shouldn't it? Especially if you've got someone who was a bit drawny in the way they speak as well, yeah. So read the chronicles, put him to sleep. Well, as they're reading the chronicles, it says, they come across the passage. Do you know what passage it was? It was the passage that was written down about how Mordecai had reported the two assassins to the king. Yes? So the king, I expect his ears picked up when he heard about him being killed. You know, he got away with it that time. Yeah, and so he asked the question, what honour and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing's been done for him, his attendants answered. They'd forgotten all about him. Yes? But Mordecai had reported it. And the king was safe, the guys were executed, nothing done for Mordecai. Isn't there a lesson that in the public life? You do your bit, and what thanks do you get?
None.
Well, there you are, you see. But there was a timing in this. God had his ways, yes? Next one, please. Just then, now he's had a good sleep as Haman, but the king been awake all night, yeah, and now he's on agitated and whatever, upset I suppose, yeah. At just that point in time, Haman entered, the king asked, and when he entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honour? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honour than me? When you're full of yourself, that's all you hear, of course. But is it interesting how the king phrased it? I mean, he could have used Mordecai's name at the beginning, but he didn't. And I don't think it was deliberate on his part. Yeah, but either way, Tracy, what should be done for the man that the king delights to honour? And of course, he thinks, it's got to be me, haven't it? So he says, I'll tell you what, get a robe that the king has worn, and get a chariot that the king's ridden in, and get him to ride through the street, and have someone lead him out there and say, this is what he's done for the man the king delights to honour. Yeah, give him the works. Let everybody know that he's a favoured person. Yeah? Right, that's all. Haman really polished it up that he's going to be the best for this guy, right? Then, next bit is, go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you suggested, Paul. Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything that you've recommended. So he's got to take this horse and cart around, or chariot around,
yeah,
with Mordecai in it, dressed to the tops, yeah, looking great and all that sort of thing. He must have felt as sick as a parrot. Yeah? But he's got to do it. So off he goes. And then he goes back home sulking and says, that's really bad. And his family say, well, if that's how it's turning out, you're a goner. I mean, they can see it coming, yeah? But anyway, next one, please. Yeah. So, just as he's got back home after all this paraphernalia, Mordecai goes back to his job. He's not bothered about all the glory. Yeah. Just then, the servants arrive from the king to escort Haman to the next banquet. Right, so I don't think he was feeling too hungry now, but there you are. Listen, please. So the king asked the queen, what do you want? Yes, well, now they've had their meal or whatever, I suppose. She says, then Queen Esther answered, if I found favour with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed and annihilated. Oh, so she hadn't told him she's a Jew, but sort of, hasn't she, said? Yeah. So, that's all I'm asking for. Let me live, and my folks. Yeah, that's it, yeah. So, next question. Who's responsible for this? Oh, someone's threatening his wife. Who's responsible for this? And she says, that vile Haman. Yeah, right, yeah. That vile Haman, and the king, when he hears that, he gets in a complete rage and storms out into the garden. I suppose he's thinking about what nasty thing he can do to Haman now. So the king storms out. So there's Esther left with Haman, of course. Next one, please. Now Haman begs for his life. He knows he's a goner. Yes, he's begging for his life from Queen Esther, and he falls over her. And the king comes in and sees him, what he thinks is molesting his wife. So, that's adding insult to injury, so get him out. Next one, please. Right. He's removed, I mean removed, seriously removed, and hanged on his own gallows. The servant said to the king, he said, you know, he obviously wasn't very popular, that Haman guy, you know, he has built a gallows, and he was going to ask you to hang Mordecai on it. And the king said, well, perfect. Let's put him on it instead. So that's it, yes, he's gone now. Right, next one, please. Right. Then Mordecai, he's been elevated to a Prime Minister job now. Mordecai wrote in the name of King Xerxes, sealed with dispatches with the king's signet ring, and sent them by mounted couriers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill and annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. So he writes a new order, a new decree. It's not overruling the old one, but it's replacing it in a way. Yeah. So that's what he does. And he sends it out with these couriers. They didn't have emails in those days, you know. Right? Their equivalent were the fast horses. Pony Express. Pony Express. Yeah, they weren't ponies, were they? These are serious horses, yeah. Yeah, that's the idea, yeah. So, fast as it goes, the message goes out. So what do you think? How do you think the Jews reacted when they heard that? Very good. And how do you think their enemies reacted? Because they've had time to show themselves. Yeah? One of the reasons I suspect the Lord allowed the delay. The enemies have blown their cover. Right? The Jews can now see who their enemies are.
Kill them.
Yes. Right, next thing, please. So the Jews were allowed to defend themselves, so that's what they did. But they didn't take any of the property. They decided we don't want the property. It's not for the, it's not about the money. It's about protecting ourselves and our families. That's what it was about. So that's what happened. Right, next one, please. Right. So Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far. I don't think he used Pony Express for this. It was a bit slower, this one. But anyway, it got there. Near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy, and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy, and giving presents of food to one another, and gifts to the poor. So that's what the idea was, to celebrate another feast. They're always at it feasting, have you noticed that? It's good. They've got the idea. And of course they all dress up in all states. It's more of a secular feast these days, but that's the spiritual reasons behind it anyway. Next one, please. Right. So what's odd about the Book of Esther? Few things are odd about the Book of Esther. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we'll explain them to you. God's name isn't mentioned anywhere in the whole of the 10 chapters. God doesn't get a mention. Yeah, that's number one that's odd. And the second is, the names of the characters who are involved in it are all named after Persian gods. Marduk would be Mordecai, and the Astarte would be Esther, of course. Yeah? So the characters are named after Persian gods. And of course, there aren't any miracles, are there? They're just little events here and there. There aren't any miracles that happen.
You speak an indirect
thing. Ah, well, we'll come to that. So I'm going to look at all three of these things and just show you that all is not what it seems to be. So, next one please, don't confuse you, forget, it's the squiggles, it's Hebrew, right? Yeah, and you read from right to left, yeah? God's not mentioned, the name for the Lord in Hebrew, in the squiggles, is that, is these letters here, yeah? Yeah, which is YHVH, we get Yahweh, or Jehovah if you put the other letters in there, yeah? Yahweh, right? So, in verse 4 of chapter 5 of Esther, you can see at the beginning of the words, YHVH. That's God's name. In there, right? And in chapter 7, verse 7, at the end of the word, YHVH. And that occurs only twice throughout the whole of the 10 chapters, all the verses. That only occurs twice. Yeah? That sequence. I mean, they do it with computers now, so you can check where they are. It only occurs twice in the whole book of Esther. Basically, God's got his name in there, but it's under the surface, in a sense. It's in code. And that's really a picture of what's going on in the book of Esther. In all of these events, that just are all ordinary events, behind the scenes, God's at work. Yeah. Next up, please. Now, about the names of the Persian gods. Esther's Hebrew name was Hadassah, which means myrtle. Anybody called Myrtle, you know, lately? No? Anyway? That was her name. But she changed her name. She changed her name. Perhaps it was to keep her identity undercover. Right? So she's called by a Persian name. Right? We have the same name change in the book of Daniel. Who are Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah? You don't know them, do you? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are? Babylonian god names. Yes. And I'll just put this in for a bit. Just because they give you a name of a god doesn't mean you worship it. Right. Dennis. Where does Dennis come from? Dionysus. It's the Greek god of wine. The party god. I'm wrongly named, aren't I? But anyway, it doesn't count. So, whatever names you have, it's what God's in your heart that matters, yeah? So here we have, there is only one God, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So whatever the names, it doesn't matter, it's where they are in their relationship with God. Next one, please, yeah? Thirdly, there are no miracles. Well, I've just put you a question here. How many coincidences does it take to make a miracle? Let's have a look. They're ordinary things in themselves. Every one of these are ordinary. But, how are they put together? Yeah. It just happened. All of these had just happened. Right? Number one, Vashti refused to come. She might have been so vain she wanted to show off, but she didn't. She refused to come. Esther wasn't a favourite, so she was chosen out of all the girls
to be queen. Mordecai happened to see the conspiracy and report it.
Yes?
And it was put on the records. Just happened. Nothing special about that, is it? Just you do that when you do.
Yeah.
And the people prayed. Well, do you think anything would have happened if they hadn't?
No.
The people prayed.
Yeah.
Yes, Esther says, you pray and fast 3 days.
Yeah. And then the king accepted Esther's unannounced entrance. She could have died.
Yeah.
But he was all right. The king couldn't sleep that night. Who kept him awake?
Yeah.
Do you think an angel came along and gave him a kick in the side or something? Woke him up or something? Yeah. He couldn't sleep. Now, well, lots of people have insomnia, don't they? Nothing special about that, is there? What's this night?
Yeah.
The servants read from the right part of the record. I mean, he lived quite a long time, this king. I mean, he could have been anything. He could have been fast asleep by the time they got to the chapter he was in. But, no, got the right bit. And then, just as he's read it, Haman arrives.
Yeah.
What should I do for the one that I want to honour, yeah?
And lastly, Mordecai was promoted to Haman's position.
Well, he didn't have to be promoted, but he was. So all of those come together at that time in the right sequence. I call that a miracle.
Yeah.
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 Right, next one please. Right. So I've got some lessons that we can learn from the book of Esther. A few lessons for us, eh? God is at work in the detail. Yes, his name's there, even if you can't see it straightforward or whatever. And it's a question I've asked myself on this one. How often can you see a miracle in the making? It's when you look back, isn't it, often? You think, oh, I mean, I can think about that now when I was a young man, and Jean and I decided we'd go and live in Soham. You know, we decided to go and live in Soham because Jean was working at the school and I was working in Cambridge. I know we decided, but I know who decided it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was to get us saved, go to the church, meet the people who love the Lord. Yeah. So all those little details, God's at work in them all, and the miracles in the making. You need to have faith to trust that God knows what He's doing. That's the one thing. That so isn't that worth celebrating?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay. Then. Next one, please. Yeah. God uses individuals who are available. Esther, are you going to go? The lesson is true for all of us. God uses individuals who are available. Are you willing to stand up for Jesus? It could be dangerous, brothers and sisters. It's getting more and more dangerous as days go by. You could lose your job. Yeah? Well, that's where it's got to in our country now. Could get worse. Yeah? Are you prepared to stand up for Jesus? That's the point. Yeah? It could be dangerous. But God uses people who are willing and available. That's worth celebrating. God uses us. Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Good. Are you sure now?
Yeah.
All right, good. Right. Next one, please. God saves his people. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what they celebrate in Purim for.
Yeah.
God did it. He saved his people. Well, that was quite something. Quite a turnaround. 1 minute, you're completely annihilated. And the next minute, you're okay. So God saves his people. I've got a question now. Just a simple question. Are you one of them?
Yeah.
Are you sure now?
Yes.
You love the Lord. That's okay then. Right. So God's going to save you, brothers and sisters. Right. Next one, please. Right. Last one. God rules the nations of the world. Yes? I mean, it was a Persian kingdom. Pagan lot. And what, 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia? Well, that's a big old place. And God's at work in all of those places. Although they didn't see it. It was only afterwards they realised that God was at work. And it still applies now. Brothers and sisters, you've got to believe that.
Yeah.
When you see all the catastrophes and the disasters that are going on in our world, you think, where's God? Do you? Right? Well,
yeah.
Read the book of Esther. God's still in business. Yes. He still rules. And he's working out things according to his plan, not necessarily the way you want it, God. Yeah. Is that worth celebrating?
Yeah.
Right, good. Right. Now, just some more. Yeah, one more then. Two more, yeah. The book of Esther, I did say, it's got some personal interest for you and me. And I mean really personal interest. We've looked at what the lessons are, the principles we can learn out of it, but this is one. If there weren't any Jewish people, if they got wiped out, there wouldn't be any apostles. There wouldn't be anybody to spread the message, would there? Because there wouldn't be any message to spread. If there weren't any Jewish people, there wouldn't have been Messiah Jesus, because he's Jewish. Right? And if there weren't any Jewish people, the king can't come back. You know that.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's coming back to?
Jerusalem.
Coming back to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I won't come back until they say, the inhabitants, till they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? So there's got to be somewhere to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for him to come back to. Yes? That's what they're celebrating as well, isn't it? It's really important. Jesus is coming back. That's good. So, the book of Esther, the reason you are here today is because what God did in the book of Esther really happened. There wouldn't be a gospel, there wouldn't be a saviour, there wouldn't be any good news if God hadn't saved the Jewish people. Yeah? And he's still in charge. Last bit, one verse. My Gene said, what verse are you going to put at the end, Dennis, for this? So this is your verse, yeah? Yeah? We know, do we know?
Yeah.
Yeah? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who be called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. That still stands. Brothers and sisters, still stands. Whatever life may throw at us, we know we've got a God who loves us. Isn't that amazing, eh? So, dear friends, however it turns out, we know it's going to be okay. You've read the last chapter. Yes. The kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdom of this world, shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign
forever.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. Thank you, Lord, you used people who are willing and available for you, Lord. We offer ourselves afresh. Take us and use us as seems best in your sight. Lord, we've read the story, a whole accumulation of little things that make a big story. Lord, may we play our little part in your big story, Lord, to be a blessing in this world in which you placed us, to give you the glory and the praise. And thank you, King Jesus. You are reigning and ruling even now. Lord, you're coming back in majesty and power. Lord, we bless you and thank you. We've got a part in this story too, because Lord, what happened then has affected us now. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate and praise your name. Amen.
Amen.